back down for a visit. I know my wife, I know she was fighting it for a while, then I guess she finally, I don't know if she finally, I guess she finally starting to accept the fact that the Lord wanted us there. But we'll be moving up to Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm taking on a position there, assistant pastor position up there with a dear friend of mine that I guess we've known now for about 10 years. And he's been at me trying to get me up that way for quite some time. And I think the time is right now for us to go ahead and make the move and to go ahead and do that. But, you know, we got a big family here at Fannin Road, and, you know, I guess you never really tell your family goodbye. You always say, well, we'll see you soon, or we'll see you later. But we will be seeing you soon. I do plan to come back by and homecoming and everything. That's I'll be honest with you, really the best way to get me back down, homemade banana pudding. Homemade banana pudding. And I'll matter of fact, I might leave mom at home and I'll come on down, but amen. But it is a blessing, amen. But turn your Bibles to, actually, we got two places we want to look at. And first one is Jude and the other one is Luke chapter 10. I was going to say Jude chapter 1, Jude chapter 3. But amen. And I guess these are a bit familiar verses to you. Actually, been having them on the wall here. And I always liked Jude 20. My dog name was Jude 22. And one of my favorite verses that got me, say, was Jude 23. Amen. And others say, with by fear. Amen. But let's stand to our feet. We'll read Jude 20, verse 22 and 23, and then we read Luke 10, 30 through 35. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh.
And biggest fan.
Now, over in Luke 10, chapter 30.
But no matter how many
different. It says, and Jesus answered and said,
never.
Answered saying,
their protector.
A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiments and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that walked that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he passed the place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set him on his beast and brought him to an inn. And took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Father, for this day, Father. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. I just pray and ask, Father, that you just be with these humble lips of clay. Help me, Father, to preach that word, Father, that you lay upon my heart. These things we pray through your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know what? I did forget my water. If you could give that to me. My wife got me. I've still got medication that dries me out real quick. Amen. No, that's one thing I can say about Fannin Road is, no, this is a church with compassion. Amen. But I also look at Fannin Road as the fact that, no, y'all have a great, well, you know what, I don't like saying y'all. We, amen, I'm not gone, and when I am gone, I'm still here. Amen. We have a great opportunity here at Fannin Road. Amen. I think we are outnumbered by children here, or the young people here, probably by 2-1, 3-1. Amen. And Fannin Road have a great opportunity to reach. I'll be honest with you, I guess Fannin Road can reach all of Montgomery in no time with the opportunity that we have here. I mean, if you take one person, takes two or three of our young people, we get them to the point of salvation, we disciple them in God's word, then we take them. Now, listen to what I'm saying. We take them out soul winning with us to show them how to use God's word correctly. You know, that's one thing. No, you don't want to give a child a loaded weapon, you know, without teaching him the right way of using it. God's word is a loaded weapon. Amen. The Bible says it can cut through the marrow. Amen. So we don't want to give them a loaded weapon without teaching them how to use it. So we take them out and we show them. And then, you know, with that, they are able to not only reach their own families, but they're able to reach out in areas that we can't reach out and touch. And with that opportunity, and you think about the opportunity that each person here at Fannin Road have, you have a great opportunity. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen. Y'all have a great responsibility here, and y'all have a great opportunity. That's one thing I do like about Fannin Road. You know, we have a lot of opportunities. You know, you know, we have a lot of programs that we work with these young people that they are making profession to faith. Amen. But we need to now take them under our wings. Take one or two of them under your wings. If you can take more up under your wings. Disciple these young people. To take them out and show them how to rightly use the word of God. Show them how to soul win, amen? Show them how to reach their families. Show them how to reach their own. Fannin Road can reach, I believe Fannin Road can reach all of Montgomery better than any other church in the state of, in Montgomery, amen? I think we can reach more of Montgomery than anyone. The opportunity is here. Amen. Because of this one thing. And some had compassion. Made a difference. Amen. That compassion to make a difference is dealing with salvation. And some had compassion. Making a difference. You know, a lot of us was reached because someone had compassion upon us. You know, if you want to give a title, it's having compassion upon them. Having compassion upon them. Someone had compassion enough upon you to bring you the gospel. And some of you was like me. Verse 23, it says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Some of you were saved like I was. I was 11 years old sitting in the back pew. Had a pastor preaching a hellfire message. And I'm sitting there at that pew and I'm holding like this. I'm holding like this right here. Because I knew, I said, if I did this off that pew, I said, I feel like I would have dropped straight into hellfire itself. That's how he caught me. And I'm like, I said, I don't know how long I was in the church before I ever heard someone preach upon hell's fire, before I ever heard someone preach a salvation message. It was a missionary that came through that preached that day. No, I really don't know if my pastor ever did preach it, but I know when I heard it then, that fear of God's judgment upon me got me to where I needed to be. So when I hear someone say, well, you preachers or you church people, y'all wrong for trying to scare people into hell, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. In other words, saying this right here. We have an opportunity to stand at hell's gate and snatch them from the fire. We have a great opportunity here. We can snatch this thing. God gave you so much power and so much strength that you can snatch someone that's about to fall into hell's fire. Y'all have a great responsibility here, amen. You have great passion. But God have given you, Jesus said what? You'll do more than what I did. And he did what? He raised people from the dead. I'm like, Jesus, I really don't see where I'm going to be able to do that much more. He said, you can stand and snatch them out of hell's fire before they fall into hell's fire. No, that portion after that, it says what? Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And I was looking at that, and it's dealing with the fact that our bodies stain with sin. The remnants of that sin that's on our body. No, it was talking about the fact that back in the day when a priest preached the message and his garment was stained, it said that whole message was no good. It talked about the fact that a young person that was working for a missionary, for a minister, they said if his garments was dirty while he was working for him, that it was punishable by death. Just because the filth on our garments. Think about our souls stained with sin. Hating even the garments. You know, that's kind of deep when you're looking at it. Hating even the garments. No, what we say, you hate the sin, but love the who? You love the sinner. I hate the sin that you're doing, but I love you. You know how many people need to hear that word right there? I love you. But the thing is this, you can say it, but can you mean it? Because the thing is right here, if you mean it, then that means that you're going to do what? You're going to have to show it. I can tell my wife I love her all day long, but till I brought her that candy bar this morning, man, this afternoon, you know, I showed her a little bit more that, you know, I was thinking about the way I went to the store. Bought her a nice big, I hope she shared with me, man. I looked at it on the table when I was coming out. But the thing is, you show people that you love them. You know, you give them a hug. You shake their hands. You give them a peck on the cheek. You know, you show it. You sit down and you share the gospel with them. You show it. Amen. I can give you a gift of eternal life. Not only can I give you a gift of eternal life, guess what? I can make sure that Christ got a mansion with your name on it. Amen. He didn't say a little trailer, brother. He said you got a mansion in heaven. Amen. You know, I'll take a trailer. I don't care. As long as I can get up in heaven, long as I can be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, give me the trailer. Amen. But that ain't what he said. He said, I got a mansion for you. Amen. Who knows? Y'all might be my neighbor next door. Y'all get to see my glorified body. Amen. I'm going to be a man of steel. Amen. But amen. But You got a mansion in heaven, amen, with your name on it. We got the keys up here called salvation. We have a great responsibility you know, our compassion, our love for these young people, our love for the older people, the sick and the shut in. You know, the one thing that used to tear my heart apart when I was in Bible college was I would go and be spraying some apartments and everything, and it'd be some older people in there that can't get out because it's snow on the ground. They garbage don't piled up in their room, in their apartment. They can't get out to take the mail. And I would ask them, I said, do you mind if I ask you a question? I said, do you have a church that you'll go to? They said, yes. I said, do any of them ever come by and check on you? No. You know, that burdened my heart. I said, that's one thing that I always want to make sure when we're part of a ministry is to check on our elderly, especially when it's cold out, it's snow out. They don't need to get out there. We would actually take time out of our job spraying for bugs and take out the trash. We'd go get their mail. It wasn't just me. It was a lot of us. Matter of fact, the young man that's going to be coming out on the 28th, Brother Woods, I can tell you some of the things we've done some crazy things, amen. But we've done some things, amen, during Bible college. But that's one of the things. You know, we'll go out and grab, we'll take the trash out. You know, we'll go get the mail for them at the mailbox. You know, we would do these things for them, amen. Why? Because of compassion, because of love. I don't know that person. I might not ever see that person again. But guess what? I love you. I can show you that I love you. You know, that's one thing. I mean, we got a great responsibility here. You know, I listened to Pastor ask about the GROW program. You know, I understand some people can't go on a Saturday, but you got Monday, you got Tuesday, you got Wednesday, you got Thursday, you got Friday. You got Sunday, because some of us go out to eat. I used to always take if I'm going to leave you a tip, I'm going to give you the track too, you know. And that's why I put up money in the gospel track. You got to go to the grocery store. Guess what? You got to give them money, right? Stick it in the gospel track. You got to go pay a bill. I don't want to go pay no bill. Stick it in the gospel track. Amen. I mean, you got an opportunity. I mean, you might not be able to stop and talk to them because they're working, but you can give them a gospel tract. Don't get embarrassed while I'm going to say, you got to go to the bathroom, take a little gospel tract in there. I'm going to be honest with you, I would go to a bathroom, I'll go to every stall, and I would put gospel tracts in there. You got to sit down, you need to read something. So I'll leave you something to read, amen. So I leave a gospel tract. I really did. We used to go. I would perfectly go to a place where I could go to the bathroom and I leave gospel tracts. When I get ready to leave, finish pumping my gas, I take a gospel tract and I roll it up and I stick it in the handle when I put it back down. Amen. I don't know who may pick that up. They might need it. They might forget to stick it in their pocket, go somewhere, and it falls out. Somebody see it, pick it up, and they need it. But leave a gospel tract. You got some people say, well, Pastor, you know what? I just don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell a person. When you go, this is the simplest thing you got to do. I had one time. And the Lord did this right here. He said, go over there and talk to that person. Like, Lord, I don't even know who that person is. But I go over there anyway. I said, I don't know why the Lord wanted me to come over here to you, but I'm here. And boy, they'll let you know the exact reason why God brought you to them. But the thing is this. You got to be obedient. You got to love enough to have compassion to go and see what that person needs is. You know, a lot of times I would, you know, a person comes to my mind, I like to go ahead and pray for them because I don't, they might be going through something. Lord might say, hey, no, pray for such and such. Sometimes I'll call you. Just because we're going to Knoxville, don't think your phone might not ring and you're like, who in the world called me from Knoxville? It might be because you came across my mind and I just want to give you a call and see how you're doing, just to say hi. You know, just to say, well, the snow didn't keep us tied down too bad in Knoxville, Tennessee, amen. But the thing is this, compassion, love, making a difference, even if it takes the fear of God's judgment, get it done. Then let's look over at Luke. Luke says this right here. It says, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Now, let me ask you this right here. How many times have we felt like we fell among thieves? And we was down in that gutter. We've been stripped of all our raiments and everything. We left down there half dead, bleeding. Not physically, but just mentally. You woke up and, I mean, you felt like you had so much burden on you that you just felt like you was beaten and left on the side of the road wounded. I felt that way this weekend. I ain't gonna tell you a lie. I mean, I was there this weekend, you know, and I had someone to just, you know, a friend I was talking with, and they got me out of the funk that I was in. You know what I'm saying? They got me out of it. But the thing is this, you know, we've all been beaten that way. And we've always, we looked for someone to have compassion upon us. But what did the Bible say? A priest. If you think of anyone would stop and help you, it would be a man of God. Right? You got supposedly men of God that stands in the pulpit. If you give me the right amount of money, I'm going to preach the message that you want to hear. And guess what they're doing to you? They're beating you, and they're leaving you in the gutter half dead, amen? Because I just gave you a watered-down message that's going to do you no good. I can sit here and say, but Jesus loves you. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to just wake up and smell roses and see the birds singing to you every morning. Right. You're not going to see it. The land of perfect? You'll get there eventually. But you won't get there down here. Amen. You're not going to see it down here. I don't care. You can have all the money and you're still not going to see it down here. You're not going to see it. It's not going to happen. But I can give you the keys to get to a mansion in heaven. Amen. Where your street is like gold. Amen. That you won't have no need of sunlight because the glory of God will light it. I can tell you how to get there because of my compassion and love for you. But he said a priest passed by. And he didn't say the priest passed by and walked by him. He said, he looked at him. He said, I'm going to the other side of the road and pass you by. You know, he went to the other side to, I was talking to a lady. We was at an apartment where we stayed in. And they said that the preacher, they said he was doing good because he spoke to one or two people. They said normally he won't talk to nobody. He didn't want to talk to nobody at the end of church service. I'm like, wow, that's a great man of God, isn't it? He's there for the money. Now, he got a problem if you ain't giving me your money. That's what she was saying. I said, you know what? I said, you need to get another church. I said, you got a hireling on your hand. You know, he's there just to preach wherever you want to preach to you, and No, I'm gonna tell you something, and I think only a couple of people might know. Now, you take like the position I'm taking up in Knoxville. I don't know if I'm getting paid or not. I never did talk about whether or not I want any money for the position. The thing is, here, God will provide for me. He every time he moved up to wherever, he provided. You know, I wondered, you know, why we was in Montgomery, and I felt, and I told Pastor, I said, you know what? I said, I'm happy with sitting in the pew, filling in where I need to fill in at while I'm here, because I just want to know God's direction for me. You know, and I came here. I got to meet more family. I got to make a lot of friends. And I got a lot of areas that I was needing to work on and build up on. And I was able to do that here. So it was like to re-energize my body. I'm like, I guess to energize a bunny, amen. I was going to recharge, amen. It just took a year for me to get there. Stubborn. My wife probably said, amen. I thought she was going to jump up and shout on that one. I'm stubborn at times, amen. And, you know, and sometimes it takes, you know, but then again, I was going through a lot of sickness. I guess I really just needed to let my body heal. And the Lord really have blessed me in that area. I mean, I've actually got a chance to get away from my walking stick. I probably have to get back on it when I get back up in all that cold weather, but amen, I got it. But you know what? It says here also, it says a Levite came along the way. And guess what the Levite did? Now, he's a servant in the ministry. Now, this is a servant. Okay, you got the priest already. He already on stepped around you and went. Guess what the Levite did? He did the exact same thing. You know, we was talking when we was eating over at Miss Friendly's house, and you know, we got to talking about how, as a pastor, we train the people how to be compassionate upon others that we see in need, and you know, stop, share the word of God with them, you know, help them out, you know, when you can. But you know, you got some pastors, they like to hear, brother, why you ain't come to church today? Sis, why you ain't come to church today? I can understand and accept this right here. Pastor, I stopped because I seen a person on the side of the road, tire was flat. I was able to fix a tire, and also I was able to win them to the Lord. I had compassion because they had a flat tire, but I also have compassion upon you because what? I don't know if you're saved now. I don't know where if you was to die today, whether or not you were going to make it to heaven. But you know what? I'm going to try to help you both ways. I'm going to try to help you both ways. I remember I was coming back from Anderson, coming down to Montgomery, seeing a young man walking on the side of the road. I passed him by. It was like the Holy Spirit said, "Not go back and get him." I'm like, okay, half mile down the road, turn around, come back. I'm like, I didn't know this young man from Hill of Beans. Didn't have a clue about him. No. Hop in the truck. We going down the road. Guess what I'm doing to him? I'm witnessing to him going down 77, going to Talladega. I get down to the end where the other gas station is at. I let him out. He's supposed to be meeting with someone. Guess what I do? I give him a gospel tract. Hey, call me if you need. You know, compassion. He could have been a crook. So what? It's not like I didn't have God's hands upon me. It wasn't like if he did do something to my body, he couldn't touch my soul. Amen. Only thing he could do is let me go home to my mansion a little bit sooner. No. Give me my glorified body a little bit more sooner because I get to get rid of all this metal in my back and I ain't got to worry about the ton of medication I got at the house. I mean, I take over 20 pills at bedtime just to sleep 4 or 5 minutes if I get there. Hey, man, my wife was mad because I was snoring during the day. This is the first time I really slept this going after church. Amen. But, you know, compassion. Compassion. Then it says what? A Samaritan. Now, I'm not sure if this guy was a Jew or not, but I know the Samaritans and the Jew, that's like water and oil. It didn't mix. But guess what? He had compassion upon him. Not only did he come by and say, "Brother, let me fix you up. You know, you wounded. You know, let me take one of my robes and put it on you." But they said he stripped him of his garments. Say, "Man, let me put something on you, brother. Let me make sure you're warm. Here, give me a little bit to drink, brother. I tell you what. Here, hop in my hee-haw. Amen. Hop on my donkey, man. You know, in other words, hop in my Ford, in my Nissan out there, amen. And I'm gonna take you down to the inn, amen. I'm gonna take you down here, and I'm gonna get you a room. And guess what I'm gonna do? I'm not gonna just go get you a room. I'm gonna leave. Guess what? I'm gonna get you in a room, and I'm gonna take care of your needs a little bit more. And when I get ready to leave the next day, guess what? I'm gonna leave some money for the caretaker to take care of you, amen. Hey, caretaker, he said, when I come back by here, if you spent anything more, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a little bit more. Amen. Compassion upon them. You got a great responsibility here. You got a great opportunity here. Don't let it go through your fingers. Amen. Like I said, you outnumbered 2 to 3 to 1. How hard is it to say, you know what? I want 3 kids. I want 3 of these young people. No, I'm gonna take them under my wings. You know, we're gonna go out. We're gonna do this. I'm gonna share the word of God with them. Take them out camping. Take them to a ball game. You got the biscuits. Only you need is gravy now. Amen. No, take them to a game. No, take them to a zoo. You know, taking them to a zoo, that's a great opportunity to tell them about. No, God's miracle. I was going to say take them to the woods, but I don't know if there's some woods down in. Take them fishing, amen. But right there you got Garner's Park down the road here. But take them to the woods, take them fishing, take them camping, take them, you know, take them out to where you can share the word of God with them. You know, take them somewhere where you can be a blessing to them. I don't care. I mean, it's not even get up on a Saturday morning. It's, hey, you know what? We're gonna go out to eat. You know, sit down and I tell you what I used to do with my kids. We used to have father daughter dates, and me and my son would have men get together, amen. And me and my wife would have a date. And this was what they was able to do. They was able to talk to me about anything that was going on in the house that was bothering them. And I would be straight up and honest with them, and I would tell them whatever it was. And we would do this, once a month. I would do this with my kids. That was father and daughter date. I'd take one girl at a time, and then me and my son. You know, we get to go anywhere they wanted to go, and we get to talk about anything that they wanted to talk about. That was the deal. And likewise, whatever it was that bothered me that they was doing, I was able to share that with them. And guess what? They had to be frank and straight up and honest with me as well. You have an opportunity here. You got young minds here that you can help develop for the Lord. You got young minds here that you can help to reach Montgomery. Just think about it. One of the young people that you take under your arm, they might be the next governor of Alabama. Guess what? They might be the next president sitting up there in the White House. You know, guess what? They might be the next one to go out and win 5,000 souls to the Lord. Amen. You don't know what you might be able to do with the young person that you come in contact with. They might be able to go out and win 100 over here, 50 over there, 40 over here. And guess what? You don't have a clue about how many people these young people don't you reach. Guess what? You get to heaven, and then somebody come up and say, you know what? I want to thank you for, you know, taking the time with this young person here. Because of what you done, I was saved. I made it into heaven because you took enough time. You had enough love and compassion to reach this young person with the gospel. You was able to reach this man, this gentleman over here that was alone. This lady that lived here by herself, this little old lady, when you stopped by and made sure her grass was cut or trash was taken out or her mail was brought in. Because she's sitting at home and she come in contact with the healthcare nurse or one of her family members and she's sharing the gospel with them. They get saved. They go out and win souls. Guess what? And someone come up to you in heaven and say, hey, you know, because of that little old lady that you reached, I made it into heaven, amen. Compassion, amen. Love, to whom much is given, much is required, amen. You know, like I said, once again, I got saved by being snatched from hell's fire. I was snatched from hell's fire. That was me. I knew I was about to slide in. Let me ask you this question. There may be somebody in here tonight. And he said, Pastor, you know what? I think I'm saved, but I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure. But I would like to have an opportunity of getting there. You know what? It's not just for our young people. Guess what? No, we had a missionary, good friend of mine. He was on the field. He won people's souls to the Lord. Guess what he figured out? I'm not really saved. Guess what he did? He made a public confession of it. He let the churches know that the churches that had taken him on for support to go out for this ministry, he said, hey, he had to write a letter to them to say, hey, you know what? I just got saved. You said, but I've been in the church now for 20, 30 years. I'll be so embarrassed to have to go up. You telling me embarrassment will stop a person from going to heaven? I tell you what, I'll knock you down trying to get up here to the front, amen. Think I wouldn't. I don't care if you're on crutches or not. I gotta talk to the Lord, amen. I gotta get something taken care of. I don't want to spend eternity in the devil's hell. It don't matter what age. If there's doubt, always get it taken care of, amen. That's the truth.
Just for a few minutes, we'll have a moment of invitation. And if you, in his message there, no doubt, I heard the word over and over, compassion. Did you notice that? Compassion. Compassion for souls, compassion for young people. And he's exactly right. We probably are easily two to one children for every adult we have in the church. And sometimes it's even three. Wednesday nights is probably four. Sometimes five on Wednesday nights. We have five children for every adult. And, you know, it takes people to do it. Can't do it, you know, with just a handful. Takes people. And tonight, I want every head bowed for a moment. Brother Cliff's just going to play.